This is Phil Ferrand. And I am walking around once again. So in fact, I think I'm probably going to be walking around at least the rest of this school year. Although I don't know what's going to happen in the spring. For the fall, Dustin and I have kind of gotten our schedule worked around. So he's going to be working on the weekends, plus Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 1 week, and then Wednesday, Friday, the next week, because he has a lab every Thursday he has to take at like 8 o'clock. So he's going to be dropping off Aiden at my house at 7:15-ish on Thursdays every week, and then he'll drop him off at 7:15 on whatever alternate days he's actually working. So we got all that straightened around, and I'm picking him up from school on certain days and keeping him with me until he gets done with work. We've gone through almost 2 weeks of that now. So, well, first big week for school was this week. Last week was, So we've gotten through 1 week. 1 week. And we got about 15 to go on that. So, but things are settling in. Dustin's been using AI to assist with his learning experience, and that was going well. He would take the PDFs of the lectures and upload them, and then he would have OpenAI record an audio podcast, create an audio podcast that it would then read back to him, so that it would sort of summarize all the general concepts and things, and that was working real well. He's got math this time, which is, in my opinion, surprisingly advanced math for general ed, but it is a requirement by some whoever's in charge of all this. So a lot of concepts in it, like permutations and probabilities and statistics and graphing and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. And he got started with it, and it was pushing him a little. And so we talked about it, and I had an idea, and I said, he said, well, I have the PDFs of each day's lectures, because he's doing it all online, and so it's just a PDF he's supposed to read through. And I said, well, you could upload that to ChatGPT, and then you could put it in interactive voice mode, and you literally could have conversations with ChatGPT back and forth about it. And the day we talked about that, he wrote me a letter. He said, that is really helping, because it's not a linear teaching style then. It's not him just reading this PDF. He can say, okay, go ahead and summarize the first 3 points that I'm supposed to know about, and he does, and then whatever he doesn't understand, he can just say, okay, I need you to explain this to me better. And it's literally like having a tutor. So that's pretty cool. That really is pretty cool. And the models that we have now for something like OpenAI, they're actually pretty good models. I mean, it's amazing what they can understand and what they know and how they can relate to you and to things. So he thinks, he's going to be able to pass the math test or the math course based on that. He said it's just a different way of thinking for me. And then he's also taking nutrition, which he told me yesterday he already had all his assignments done for that this week. And then he'll be taking microbiology as well, which he had his first lab for that today. So I've got to check in with him tomorrow morning, see how that all went. So, you know, we're puttering along, step at a time. It's very interesting. From a costume standpoint, I did Angel Day last week. So that was my kind of last big heavy thing until Time Traveler Day, which I think is in December. And the rest of the costumes between now and then are just fun, which is good because now I have to start on Halloween. But I did get the big poofy dress from AliExpress today for Halloween, and it's, the colors are good, you know, the ornamentation's good. It's good. I think we're gonna be fine there. So that's good. And I've got a grocery shopping outfit coming in because I'm not going to be able to grocery shop in the Halloween headless Marie Antoinette outfit. So, but that's much simpler and it's going to be fine. And I think all that's going to work out fine. All those pieces are supposed to be coming in the next week or two. So I think that's under control. Now I just have to start rigging up the torso on the chair and positioning myself within it, making sure that I've got the appropriate undergarments to pull up the skirt. And but like I said, I got the actual dress in today and did some measurement checks on it. And that all seems to be some fine. There'll be some engineering, definitely some engineering that's gonna have to be done, but that's okay. You know, that's all kind of part of the challenge. We'll get that all figured out and it'll be fun. So I think at this point, once we get the big Halloween costume taken care of, that the rest of the year, we're just gonna coast out on the costumes, so that's good. Writing's going fine as well. I'm waiting for the beta books to come in on the Lord's Prayer. And I have been a little bit slack in recruiting people as beta readers simply because it looks like the books are going to be a little bit delayed, which is disappointing. They were supposed to be in the end of August, and now Amazon is telling me it's going to take them until September 9th to get to me, so that's a little bit disappointing. But it'll be fine. We'll work it out. Right now, what I'm working on in the parables is I'm working through all the parables that start with the kingdom of heaven is like. Because my plan was, is I got started kind of showing how that some of the parables that we quote have cultural relevance to early New Testament times, because Jesus was telling stories about life as it existed then. And while the parables in some part transcend that, and I think maybe I mentioned this last week, the parables in part transcend that, at the same time, there are things we can learn. So, I'd gone through the parable of the Good Shepherd. I'd also gone through the parable of the sower. So now I've launched into just marching through the parables in Matthew 13 that all start with the kingdom of heaven is like. And I had finished up the parable of the weeds, which is really better, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And I felt like I had some good things to say there. And then I was working on the parable of the mustard seed, and I was working on the parable of the leaven, which are both parables that are illustrating the growth of the kingdom. So of course the parable of mustard seed is Jesus basically said, look at the mustard seed, you know, it's the smallest, but you put it in the ground and it builds an enormous plant that turns into a tree, and all the birds gather into its branches to nest. So there's some interesting things about that, because it doesn't actually turn into a tree. I mean, it turns into something that looks like a tree, because according to ChatGPT, it does have a woody stock and it does put out branches. But it's definitely not a tree. However, there is some interesting parallels between that language turns into a tree and the birds come and nest in it. And when you look back into the Old Testament, you do see that same imagery in Daniel and in Ezekiel. So maybe Jesus was doing something to hearken back to that. And then, of course, the parable of the leaven. I'm down to my little creek here, but there's not much water running in the creek today. We haven't had rain for a few days. Yeah, so you can't really hear much today. So, heading back to the house. So, the parable of the leaven is pretty simple too. Jesus just says, the kingdom of heaven is like a lump of leaven that a woman hides in 3 to 5 measures of wheat and works it in, and the leaven spreads throughout it and leavens the entire batch. One of the interesting things about that parable is the verb that Jesus chooses. He doesn't say that the woman mixes it into the flour. He says that she hides it in the flour. And the word that is used there, I believe, is only used one other time in the New Testament, and that's in the version of the parable in Luke. So this parable of the leaven is the only time that we use this word hide. And that word, when you see it in the Greek and you see the transliteration to English, you go, oh, encryption. Because it looks just like the word encryption. And in fact, our word encryption uses very similar pieces of. The word that Jesus uses for hide there. So that's interesting. So I did talk about that in the book, but there was a little bit of something in me that I wasn't quite satisfied with those chapters. Honestly, I have no idea where some of this book is going. I know the parables I want to talk about, but I don't even know what I'm going to say about some of them, because some of them are just so straightforward. It's just, ta-da, there they are. Especially some of the ones where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. And so my plan has been, well, there's going to be something more to talk about here once I get all the characteristics that Jesus lines out, because Jesus had a reason for lining out the characteristics that he lined out. And so, relying on the fact that Jesus knew what he was doing and that he didn't necessarily explain everything, but that he prefixed and suffixed, mostly suffixed, all of the parables with, "Let him who has ears hear," indicating that there was something in these parables to understand beyond just the top-level interpretation. I had gotten through those two chapters and I was on a run this morning before Aiden got here, and I was just kind of pondering and saying, well, I've got those two chapters done. There was a few interesting things in there about hiding it in the leaven, the trees and the birds having parallels, and Daniel and Ezekiel when talking about kingdoms. But is that it? Is it just that the kingdom is characterized by growth? Or is there, something else? And what was interesting is that as I was walking along, we'll call it a whisper from Jesus, this idea just dropped into my head of, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven are straightforward by themselves, but as a pairing, they define the two different types of growth that there are in the kingdom. I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. And in fact, parable of the mustard seed is very much looking at a type of growth that is external and visible. What you have is the growth of a plant that's getting bigger and bigger, and everybody can see that. And in the fact that everybody can see that means that you do get this attraction of birds who come to take advantage of the fact that this plant has grown very large and even turned into a tree. And there's some interesting stuff that about that imagery of the birds. Jesus doesn't necessarily ascribe good or evil to the birds. He does talk about in the Sermon on the Mount how that God keeps track of all the birds and cares for them. But he also talks about in the parable of the sower, which comes just a few parables back in Matthew 13, about the birds grabbing the seed off the hardened path before it can germinate. So, as I said in the book, maybe I've just been forever imprinted by watching Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds at a young age. that when I read about all the birds coming and flocking into the branches, I have a hard time as seeing that as fully beneficial. Because at the very least, the birds are probably settling to eat the mustard seeds off the mustard plant. And are they going to try to eat other things? Either way, whether it's beneficial for the birds to be given shelter, or the shelter attracts birds that aren't necessarily beneficial, either way, the external growth of the kingdom does create an attraction. And I think it's safe to say that that attraction won't always be beneficial. And that is the nature of external growth. You can't grow visibly. You can't acquire resources. You can't stretch and spread without causing some attraction of other entities. It is the nature of the thing. So Jesus tells that parable, but then he also turns around immediately and tells a parable where he could have used the word mixes. And instead of using that word mixes, he uses the word hides. And so the parable of the leaven is the story of growth that is in secret. And Jesus documents the fact that this growth that is in secret grows unseen, but leavens the entire measures of flour. And, you know, I'm sure that's occurred to other people, and I'm sure other people have talked about it. And maybe someplace way back in my past, somebody talked about it, and I forgot they talked about it. But I can't say I've ever thought of the pairing of those two parables in that way before. And it kind of just gave me a little, oh, well, there you go. That's something a little more interesting to talk about. So that was fun. So I wrote some of that up. I still have to go and get it edited and stuff, but it's just kind of nice when Jesus helps you out a little bit. So, and who knows what's going to come of the rest of the book, but I'll just keep writing and we'll just see what Jesus will whisper about. I was looking around for a topic today, but the more I looked around, the more I thought, you know, I should just reflect on where we are right now at the end of August in 2026. Sorry. Where we are, it's the 28th today. No, it's the 27th today. Where we are at the end of August, I'm going to put down the recorder. At the end of August in 2026 with AI, I've said before that one of the reasons I wanted to stay on and just work a reduced set of hours was to watch as AI became more capable and to watch as we used it more and more. And it has been fascinating. It's been fascinating to watch it being adopted and watch programmers, because I obviously have programming friends and we talk. It's been fascinating to watch them as they have adapted to AI and to watch their attitudes and their approaches change. It is very capable. It's not perfect, but it's very capable. We had a situation today where we had a report that, or this week, we had a report that had just stopped going out on July the 17th. It just stopped. And so we had to get back down into what's called the reporting server. And when we had database administrators, we literally did not even think about the reporting server. They maintained it. We just, whatever, you know, we'd just tell them, hey, we need this to work. And they would go do the thing and all was great. Well, now we have some of the programmers who have been given elevated permissions.
Who are
functioning in our DBA roles. And for some reason, some of those roles are more difficult to assign than they should be. While we have a couple of programmers who are functioning in that role, we really only have one who has all the needed permissions on the reporting server stuff to get in and do what needs to be done. But thankfully, we have one. And, you know, we're working through this gnarly little problem. Yesterday, and because he had the right tools, he got in, he figured it out. And as that one turned out, it was because it was running in the context under one of the employees who didn't take the buyout with glue, and he, moved on. And apparently just several weeks ago, they finally kind of shut off his network credentials. And of course, then as soon as that happened, that report just blew up. So we got that one solved, but we're working on another one where the overnight systems are supposed to be creating files and they aren't. The definitions for those files are being loaded into a table, but the table is never getting cleared out. We went ahead and kicked it off to see what kind of permissioning problems or what we were having. And when the job kicked off, it was just taking an enormous amount of time to generate these files. We were trying to do some cash receipts files for a missionary. It worked for 15 minutes to produce one file with like one line of data in it. But the amazing thing was, you know, the programmer who was working with it, he was just saying, okay, this is taking a long time and it's executing this stored procedure. And it went, you know, the agent went out there and looked at what was happening and came back and reported, well, that's because you're doing, you know, tens of millions of reads on this, that, and the other. It's not locked up. It is working, but you know, it's just in order to produce these files. And I went and took a look at the actual stored procedures, and sure enough, it is. It's hitting tables and things such that it's just going through the clock cycles like crazy. But just the fact that it could construct all of those queries for us that we could then go execute and then give it back the results and have it interpret the results and tell us what that thing was doing. I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing. I mean, we could have gone out and researched on Google to figure out how to find out those queries and, you know, eventually found it and stuff. But you just tell them, look, we're having this problem. And it says, okay, run these queries and tell me what it says. And you do that. And then it comes back and go, oh, yeah, you got this. I mean, that's pretty cool that it will do all that stuff. And it will do enough stuff that right now I'm kind of seeing a divergence in the programming community where you've kind of have one side that feels like their job now is just to feed the AI and just get out of the way. You know, so they're given a task and they just tell AI what the task is, and the AI suggests to doing it a certain way, and then they, you know, tell it, okay, go ahead and do that. And then if there's problems, they just give the error messages to the AI and say, this didn't work quite right. And the AI goes, okay, I'll fix that. And ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. I understand that, because it will do a lot of stuff. And it's mostly right. And then you've got another group of programmers that's really trying to kind of hold on and preserve their role, because they're right too. The AI may be good, but it's not perfect. And so they want to cross-check. And I kind of consider myself in this camp. When I use AI to write something, I want to go do the comparison on it, and I want to see what it changed, and I want to see why it changed it and what approach it took, yada, yada, yada. So, but how much longer does that last? You know, and do, I can see very quickly I could get to the point where I check and check and check, and it always just seems like it's great, and you just get to the point where you go, you know, just speed things up here. Don't worry about giving me permissions, asking me for my permission to do something. Just go. Just do it. Get it done, because I got to move on to the next thing. So that's going to be interesting to continue to watch that pattern. I mean, I do have to say, it's really good at some of the things it does. It really, really is good. And it's amazing. I mean, every week, at least one of us says, how in the world does it know all this stuff? And how does it know? It's just, when you think all they did was just analyze a bunch of words and the proximity of the words to each other, and there's this emergent property that comes out of it. It's really fascinating. These are fascinating times to live in. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.